Today I'm going to talk to you about healing made simple. Healing made simple. And then next week I want to talk to you about what I think is pretty much the only objection to healing and how to deal with that, how to confront it, and how to, it's going to be good too. It's going to be good, I tell you. Because how many believe he's our healer? And I believe healing was taken care of, and it's a part of the atonement. It says he forgave all my sins, he healed all my diseases. So I really, really believe that. So I want to see that happen. We're not one of those churches that believes healing's not for today. We believe healing is for today. And we believe that Jesus heals all of the time, and there's never a circumstance that he isn't committed to your health. To your health. Beloved, I pray above all other things. It says in little John, it says, beloved, I pray above all other things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So that is a wish breathed by the Holy Ghost through John. It is a heavenly wish that you prosper and be in health in every way. And so I just want to align myself with that. You? Amen. So, Father, we just believe that. Father, today as we just even approach your word and just look into your word in a very simple way, I just pray, Lord, that you would manifest in our hearts. Father, revelation is what we need. Revelation is what we need. And we need to cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the revelation of who you are in our hearts and our lives. So, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you are the one who promises to come and illumine the word and bring revelation to us. So lead us into all truth today. Lead us in the simplicity of healing. Lead us in this revelation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, healing made simple. I don't know what you got on the screen there. You got it. That's it. That's it right there. Healing made simple. I'm going to start in Leviticus. Can you say Leviticus? Leviticus, it says, now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache, and he shall cry, unclean! Unclean! I did that because there's an exclamation mark there. He is unclean. And he shall dwell alone, and his dwelling place shall be outside the camp. Outside the camp. There's all kinds of rules for people who didn't get well, who had certain conditions. And if you had certain conditions, you were unclean. Back in the Old Covenant, they believed sin was almost like a covering. It got on you. And that's why you didn't want to touch dead things or let people who were not well touch you. And you wanted to pull people out of your community that weren't well because it might get on you. Because they believed sin was something that could attach itself to you. Whereas in the New Covenant, you can lay your hands on sin. In the new covenant, he who had no sin became sin so that we might be the righteousness of God. In the new covenant, you don't have to worry about a transference of evil. You are carrying and transferring, and there's a river of life that flows out of you. So wherever there's death, you can attack it in the Jesus name, and you can heal the sick. Lay your hands on the sick, and you will get some. No, you see, in the old covenant, lay your hands on the sick, and you'll get some. But in the new covenant, lay your hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Settle down. All the shouters stayed home today. Come on. Somebody got to pick it up for the shouters. All right, here's a little picture. Here's a little picture of some leprosy. That's leprosy. That's leprosy. Ooh. Ah. So I went 13 times, traveled to India, spent some time in India. And at the church on Sundays, lepers would gather at the gates of the church and they would beg. And they'd be there to get money. So that would happen. I've been to leper colonies and things. And I didn't know that still existed, but it does. And I would go through and I would pray for them and just lay my hands on them. And they're going, Pastor, you're laying hands on the lepers. I said, I know. That's because we're carrying life. We're packing the life-changing power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So there's somebody right there. Now, have you ever got something? Have you ever felt something or touched your neck or had in your throat or something? Or all you had a bump or a lump or something showed up that you went, ooh, that's not good. What's that? And then immediately you just start, your head goes a million different directions. You wake up and something hurts or you got this constant pain in the side. You're like, I wonder what that is. What's that? That's been there for a while. What's going on there? What's about? And then you get all freaked out about stuff. Well, in the old covenant, you see, here's somebody who would get something would manifest, a sore, a blister or something. And right there, their first thought is what? Oh, my God. And I wonder if they would tell people right away that, what do you think this is? I don't know. What's going on? What do you think? And they would, I don't know, but I think it would be a little bit terrifying because if this is what I think it is, I'm going to have to leave my family, leave my home, and I'm going to have to live outside of the city. I'm going to have to shave my head. I'm going to have to tear my robes. I'm going to have to live in squalor. And if anybody comes near me, I have to say unclean. And I am now committed to a life of living alone in a wilderness. How many think that's horrible? You know, they still say the worst form of torture is isolation. It's the worst form. I went to the dentist the other day and got waterboarded for an hour and a half. And they said, how you doing? I said, man, I tell you, you waterboarded me for an hour and a half. I was about to confess anything. I did it. You know, but you say, they still say the worst form of torture is to put somebody in absolute isolation. It's still the worst. Because we are made to be connected. We are made to experience life, and we are made for touch. But this person right here, I got a little picture. It's an old picture, but it's a picture of Jesus outside, you know, and there's a leper, you know, and Jesus touched lepers. Jesus went into the messes of people's lives, and he showed up. He showed up. And can you imagine, I mean, if I were a leper and I was kicked out of Jerusalem, I might hang around near the wall, near where my family lived. I might stay by that wall just wondering if I could hear my wife say something. I could say, hey, it's me, you know, and I'm trying to somehow experience life, but I'm alone, I'm shunned, I'm kicked out of society. And that's how awful leprosy was. But here we go. Here we go. Right here in Matthew 8, 2-3, it says, and behold, a leper came and worshiped him. A leper came, and the word worship is prokoneo. Prokoneo means to prostrate yourself and to kiss towards. I mean, a leper came. You know, lepers aren't supposed to do that. Lepers are supposed to stay away from crowds, stay away from people. And if anybody comes close to you, you got to say, unclean, unclean. But this leper didn't give a rip. This leper decided to die. That's Jesus. I think that's Jesus. And that leper ran to Jesus. He ran there and he bowed before him and he kissed towards him and he worshiped him. I mean, he broke all the rules. He was breaking all the law. He had to break all the religious commandments and requirements. He had to come to Jesus. And he came to Jesus. And here's what he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And so maybe you're here today and there's something going on in your world, something going on in your body, something happening in you. You know, you got to bring that to Jesus and you got to believe no matter what, doesn't matter what it is or where it comes from, doesn't matter if it's been generational in your family forever. I don't care. You can bring it to Jesus right now and you can say, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make me whole. You can walk out of here today absolutely free from all sickness and affliction. In Jesus' name. I mean, what would happen if we just decided, I'm going to preach on this every week from now on, and we're going to ring the dinner bell all over London that Jesus Christ is still the healer. And we're going to insist that ambulances stop going to the hospital, but they come here, bring the stretchers in, and in the name of Jesus, people are made whole. Do you think that might draw a little bit of a crowd? You know, that's who we are. That's who we are. That's what we have. He forgives all your sins, and he heals all your diseases. We got to be a full gospel church, amen? But look at this, it says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put his hand out and he touched him. I mean, here's Jesus breaking all the rules. He touched him, like, no, Jesus, no, no, no. Because if you do that, you got to declare yourself unclean. You got to separate yourself. You got to go through cleansings. You got to go in 7 days to the priest and they got to examine you and make sure, because if you touch a leper, it gets on you. So I don't want to hang out with sinners because I don't want sin to get on me. That's rubbish. Sin don't get on you. The glory of God gets on them. Touched him saying, I am willing. Listen, Jesus is the absolute and exact representation of the Father. If you want to see the Father, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So if Jesus says, I am willing to heal you, this wasn't some little window of time where Jesus had special ability just to prove he was God. Jesus was manifesting what can happen when a man, because he emptied himself of the privilege of divinity. Well, he showed us what can happen when a man is anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and you can go about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. You got to love that word, don't you? Immediately. How many love immediately's? We prayed for some sick people, and they all left sick. Came sick, left sick. Glory be to Jesus. I want to see the immediately's, don't you? I want to see the immediately's. I want to see the immediately's. There's something about it. I've seen withered arms restored in a moment. I've seen it. I was in Cuba and I had a lady in the meeting. I tell you, it was a meeting. It was awesome. And this lady came up. She had a withered arm and I came right from the airport. My luggage was right there by the side of the platform. So I gave her my carry-on bag and I said, pick it up. And she looked at me funny. I said, pick it up. And she took her withered arm and she went down like this and all of a sudden, shoo. I tell you, it was a wow. Everybody in the whole place went, what? I saw blind eyes open that week. I said, what's this lady saying? What's she saying? Prayed for a blind lady. I said, what's she saying? What's she saying? She's saying she can see. I went, what? So amazing. Saw her the next day when we were leaving and she was outside for the first time in years sweeping her own steps. Hey. Come on. And I'll tell you, we saw those meetings. That was the first night. Those meetings packed until people were outside looking in the windows and God was present, healing the sick and delivering people. But I don't think that should be a special event or a glory service or something we do in a foreign country. I think that's every day. Every day. Every day. There's people in this room being totally healed, totally set free. People right here. People have been healed just in worship services, totally set free. Nobody prayed for them, nothing. I had Stephanie walking out one day, and she's walking. I said, oh, by the way, my ear was healed. The tinnitus and my blown up eardrum, it was restored in the worship service. I went, what? And she just said, as a matter of fact, my Pastor Carl, thanks for everything. Oh, by the way, my eardrum was healed. And I went, wait a minute. You got to send me a testimony. And she did. But I love that when you're a new convert like that, you come and, well, that's what happens, right? I'm not conditioned to not expect anything. I'm conditioned that what we just sang should happen in my life. Should happen in my body. Anyways, praise the Lord. I am willing. I am willing. The Lord says to you, I am willing. And the Lord says, come on, immediately cleansed of his leprosy. Power of touch, Psychology Today, Rick Chillett, March 11th, 2013. He said, touch is the first sense that we acquire, and it is a secret weapon in many a successful relationship. He said, if you're close enough to touch, it's often the easiest way to signal something. We feel more connected to someone if they touch us. Touch. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. So I went to church and something happened. Isn't that bizarre? I went to church, same old stuff, came in, came out. No, I went to church and something happened. He touched me. Miami School of Medicine, Tiffany Fields, she did it's called the Touch Research Institute, linked touch of massage or other types of touch to a slew of benefits, including better sleep, reduced irritability. Any irritable people here today? Reduced irritability, increased sociability amongst infants, as well as improved growth for preemies. We had Brandon is here. Brandon's dad used to be on staff with us, Brian Keener. But Brian, when we left school, Brian went to work at New York School of Urban Ministry. And when I was talking to him, he said one of the ministries they had was that they would go to the hospital and they would hold babies. I said, you would go to the hospital and hold babies? He said, yeah. He said, there was babies that, there were drug addicts and things that would give birth to babies. And then they would leave the hospital, they'd escape from the hospital, and they'd leave their baby behind. But the babies were addicted to crack and addicted to heroin. And these babies, they didn't have time, all of the nurses, to hold these babies. They just didn't have staff to hold these babies. But if somebody did not hold those babies, they would not thrive. So there are people that their ministry is to go to the hospital every day and just hold babies that are addicted and to see them set free. You know, they found out that the babies that were touched, the babies that were held, they thrived and they were made well and they recovered. But the babies who didn't have someone to care for them, they didn't thrive and many didn't make it. That's pretty amazing ministry, huh? You get leprosy, you got to be alone. Nobody can touch you. You got to cry out, unclean. But Jesus said, I am willing. So there's a lot of other stuff. They showed that if waitresses and waiters, if when you go to the table and you're there and you talk to me, hey, how are you today? They said they did a study that if you as a waiter or waitress made a very simple kind of gesture, a little touch, just something, everybody who did that, made that as a practice as a waiter or a waitress, you got bigger tips. You got bigger tips just because of that simple identification. That's why I stand at the door and shake hands when you're on the way out. And since I've started doing that, the offerings have gone up. It's just awesome. So, Touch is a big deal. So it's amazing. A guy, Michael Krause, he's a University of Illinois. He did a touch thing with NBA players, NBA basketball players, and he began a study. And he took a few teams, and what he did was he encouraged them to very early in the season and in practices and everything. Every time somebody made a good shot, go over and grab him and say, good for you, a good pass or something. He said, I really want to encourage the aspect of encouragement, not just, hey, that was good, but to walk over, slap him on the back, just give him a pass. Good for you, a high five, just do that. He said all of the teams that he worked with that practiced that did better than the other teams, and it didn't matter what kind of a star or who they were or how much money they made or how great they were the year before. All the teams that he worked with that intentionally practiced touch, they practiced the connection, they worked together better, they functioned together better, and they performed better together. It was irrespective of who it was or what team it was, they all did better with touch. I got the research right here if you want me to prove it to you later on, all right? But that's pretty cool stuff. And so touch is a really, really big deal. Mark chapter 6, 56, it says, wherever he entered into villages and cities or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplace and they begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him, I thought that was interesting, touched the hem of his garment, but then it says, as many as touched him, as many as touched him, they were made well. Now, the word hem is, the Greek word there is krespedon, and the word means the edge, the skirt, the margin, or the tassel. Say tassel. Tassel. A tuft. The Jewish people, they had appendages that were attached to their mantles or attached to their clothing, even if they had long clothing in their clothing, not just their prayer shawls, but often in their skirts and their other clothing, they would have tassels. And they would have these tassels at the corners of their garments, their appendages attached to their mantles to remind them of the law. Now, Jesus rebuked some of them about their appendages because he said, some of you, you know, you make them extra long just trying to say, hey, I'm a big deal. Because some people thought that the longer the tassels, the more important you were. And you were somebody because you had long tassels. But there was more than just touching the edge of his garment. Like, you could touch somebody's shirt nearby or touch the edge of their pants nearby. But it wasn't just a hem. There was something there that they touched. Something specific that they were putting a demand on. And right here, I'll show you a picture right here. Show you a picture. Boom, it's that right there. See, there's four of them there on a corner of this folded garment. But on the corners of each of the garments, they would fold something called a tzitzit. T-Z-I-T-Z-I-T, a tzitzit. So on that garment, you would take these things and in all the corners, this would be done. And it would be done like that, made just like that, specifically designed. And it had to have blue, and not just any blue. It was a blue dye that was very exclusive. It was a blue dye that was used in the garments of the priests. It was used in the curtain of the Holy of Holy. And it was used in the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. There was a specific blue, and that blue pointed to heaven. It pointed to divinity. It pointed to an acknowledgement of the lordship of God Almighty and your connection to the throne of God. And so the blue was in there to designate your connection. So this is a tzitzit. Say tzitzit. Very good. All right, Numbers 15, 37 to 41. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Throughout the generations to come, you must make tassels for the hems of your clothing and attach them with a blue cord. You must do this. This is a part of the law. You know what? Jesus came under the law to redeem those under the law, but Jesus would have had these tzitzits. He would have had tassels. He would have had these things in his garments. You will remember and obey all the commands of the Lord instead of following your own desires and defiling yourself as you were prone to do. The tassels will help you remember that you must obey my commands and be holy to your God. I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt that I might be your God. I am the Lord your God. So these tzitzits were very specific. It was written in the law, written in Numbers, and it wasn't just males or females. It was all the people through every generation. You're to put these in your garments, on the corners of your garments. You're to put them there so you will be reminded. You'll be identified as the people of God. You'll be identified by who you are, but it'll also be a reminder to you. Even when you're with one another, you're going to see those. They're going to be before you, and it'll be a reminder to you that you are the children of God. You're going to walk under his lordship, and you're going to honor his covenant. And you're going to honor his commandments and you're going to be a child of God. So that's God instructed them to do that. Now, tzitzit, it's a tassel. Each tassel has 8 threads and 5 sets of knots, totaling 13, and tzitzit is 600. So when you add the 13 to it, you get the number 613. How many think that's really awesome? is the exact number of the commands that you're to follow in the Bible. The law has 613 commands. So it was done in such a way, drawn up, tied up in such a way that it represented the 613 commands. But it also had 8 threads, and it also had to have 5 knots. Interesting. 8 threads and 5 knots. A tzitzit. So John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses." Say Moses. No, say Moses. Okay, that... few good ones over here. All right. But look, the law came through Moses, but grace. And this is truthfully, I mean, true, hardcore grace. Grace came through Jesus Christ. Now, the interesting thing that was even in these tzitzit, it wasn't just you want to obey the law, but there was also a prophetic foreshadowing of the 5 and the 8. What does 5 stand for? Well, it does stand for the Pentateuch. But when you step over into Jesus, the law came through Moses, but what came through Jesus? Grace, absolute grace, truthfully, forensically, grace. And what is the number of grace? 5. So right there, even in that tzitzit, the gospel was there because 8 stands for new beginnings. You see, inside of that, they realize that there's something there, that there's a prophecy, that there is coming someone who is going to fulfill all of this for us. And by grace, we're going to all experience an absolute new beginning. Just some of those fun details in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things passed away, all things have become new." Now, this was what was in Jesus' garments. And it was in everyone was supposed to have that in their garments. Malachi 4, verse 2, a prophetic messianic word. It says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings." Healing in his wings. And that word wings means there'll be healing in the corners. There'll be healing in the edges. There'll be healing in the skirt. There's healing. You see, it's a prophecy that when Jesus comes, when he comes, there's going to be healing in the tzitzit. There's going to be healing in his wings. He's going to manifest healing everywhere he goes. And you will go free and you will leap with joy like calves that are let loose into the pasture. So it's a prophetic word about Jesus. Are you still here? Mark chapter 5, 23 to 24. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Say 12 years. 12 is a number of completeness, absolute legality. It's 12 is whole. I mean, she'd been wholly sick and dominated by disease for 12 years. The interesting thing is, geez, she got touched of a 12-year disease while Jesus was going to minister to a 12-year-old girl. And Jesus wanted to manifest in every generation, "I am complete healing and deliverance." Every generation. "She'd had a flow for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better. When she heard about Jesus," say heard. "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said," say she said. Something real important about hearing. Are you hearing me? I'm hoping you're hearing today, because I'm sharing this with you today because I want you to hear. I don't want you just to hear words. When's he going to be done? I want you to listen to the word, because if you hear this word and you hear it for yourself, you get to the place where you're going to say that that should work for me today. I tell you, if he healed anybody before, he wants to heal you now. If he's done it ever before, he wants to do it again. If he set anybody free, he wants you to be free. If you're willing, you can free me today from this affliction. So I want you to hear that, but I want you to hear that because I want you to stir it up faith, because faith speaks. Because when you hear that, you're going to say, then I can be healed too. Healing is mine. Healing is a gift from God for me. It's my legal right. It's a part of my inheritance to walk in divine health. Boy, that's really good news, Pastor. It really is. The gospel is ridiculously good news. It really is. So she said, here's what she said, "If only I may touch," say touch. "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, if you have an issue of blood, you are just like a leper. You've got one of those conditions where if you have constant bleeding, you are constantly unclean. And if you're constantly unclean, that means you must isolate yourself as well. And it means that if anybody comes near you, you got to tell them, no, unclean, don't come, don't touch, stay away, I'm unclean. Because they believe that sin was transferable onto other people. The condition that was on me, this somehow evil condition that I somehow deserve or earned, it's on me and other people can get it if they come near me. There's believers who still believe that nonsense today. Oh, don't touch a wicked person. I'm like, slap a wicked person anytime you can. I tell you, the anointing breaks the yoke right there. And you're packing in the name of Jesus. Listen to this, I love this word again, immediately. Look what happened immediately. Immediately. So she presses through the crowd, and immediately she touched the hem of his garment, and it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body. Say felt. I like that. I like praying for Shadrach here today. He said, wow, something's happening already. I can feel it on me now. Isn't that good? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. You should expect something to happen. I don't know about you, but I expect something to happen today. 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 Next week, we're going to have some testimonies because Ingrid got totally healed. When Wayne came up, had a few words of knowledge, Ingrid got totally healed. She had constant pain in her foot, and I thought she was going to cause pain in her foot, stamping it there like a crazy person. Did I just say that? But I was like, lady, settle down. But, you know, she said, bam, she keeps telling me every day I wake up, and every day I used to wake up and go, oh, but every day I put my foot down and praise Jesus. We had another fellow, his name's David, he's not here today. I talked to him and got him to send me an email because tell me what happened. But he said, when Wayne said there's somebody with a, what was it again? It was a hip, yeah. He said somebody got a hip condition. He said, I'd actually just come back into the room out of the bathroom and I heard hip condition. So I came up and I got prayer. My hip was totally touched. He said, and then when Wayne said somebody with a left foot getting healed right now, I went, well, I don't got a left foot problem, but I got a right foot problem. And he said, phew. He said, he felt something happened, and his foot was healed as well. And then he talked to me after, he said, you got to understand, I have been absolute pain in my hip and in my foot. I've been going to chiropractors, I've been going to, you know, massage therapists, I've been doing all this, it's been affecting my work, it's been affecting my whole life, it's been affecting everything I do. It's been consuming me, consuming my time, it's been dominating my mind. But you have to understand, I was totally set free. So we're going to have them share a little bit with you next week. But how many love a testimony, amen? You know, and you can't argue with somebody's testimony. Oh, well, you know. Well, that was you. No, that's you. Jesus is no respecter of persons. Every single person wants to touch you. Power. She felt something in her body and she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone from him. And it's so true. I tell you, there's times when I've been ministering healing in a meeting and I'm sitting there going, I don't know what's going on, but I feel juice. It's like there's something, this is loaded right now. There's something happening and you can feel, it's like electricity. It's like something is happening and you can feel impartation taking place and people's lives are being touched. It's amazing. It's amazing. You don't have to, man. You can have it because Jesus said it. Jesus said it, so it's yours. You don't have to have some special event, some electric touch. Jesus said it, it's done. He sent his word and he healed you. You just accept it right now in the name of Jesus. You don't got to fall on the floor, run around, jump around. You just got to say, Jesus, you said you healed me. Did he say he forgives your sins? Do you believe that? Yes. You know what he also said? Heals all your diseases. I mean, if you don't think he heals all your diseases, how do you know he forgives all your sin? Why are you so confident about that one when it's totally connected to the other one? Jesus, immediately knowing that something happened, something power had gone out of him, he turned around to the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? The disciples, they were saying, Jesus, dude, I mean, everywhere we go, we're having to part the crowd to get you out. He says, I mean, who didn't touch you? Like saying, who touched you? Are you kidding? Everybody touched you. He said, no, no, no. Some people touched me, but somebody touched me. Some people were touching me, but somebody touched me. Because I felt virtue go out of me. Somebody touched me. And he turned around. He said, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, going, you know what? You know, here I am, I broke all the rules, I broke all the laws, I'm not even supposed to be out in public. I mean, here I am, all the rules that I'm supposed to obey, I'm breaking them all. I'm throwing the law out. I'm tossing the law of Moses out. I'm breaking all the rules because I'm going to come to the one who I heard is touching brokenness. He's not saying you're broken, go away. You're broken, get apart from here. You're broken, stand in loneliness and fear. No, he said you're broken, come to me. Come to me. If you're burned out in religion, come to me. And she heard about Jesus. She heard there is somebody who is not pushing sick people away, but he's bringing them to himself. He's embracing them. He's touching them. And everyone who touches him is healed and set free. This is our book. This is what we read. This is our document. Don't you think it's about time we believed it? Every bit of it. And not just believed it, but by faith exercise it with deep expectation. Hey! All right. He looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, what a beautiful thing to say. Daughter, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Nice Bible stories. Heard that in Sunday school. You know, I don't want the only miracles that we talk about are the ones that are in the Bible. I want to talk about miracles that happen here every single time we gather. I want to hear about miracles because you were at the drugstore and you saw somebody with a cane walking in and what's wrong? I go, you know, I had surgery on my knee. I said, do you mind if I pray for you? You know, the five most powerful words in evangelism, the five most powerful words are, can I pray for you? That's it. Because you know what? You could, you know, Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of everything. He's the Savior of my life. People are going to argue with you. But you know what? When you can I pray for you? And if they say yes, and I've only had one person ever say no to me. If they say yes, you lose the kingdom. They get touched. You can't argue with a healed leg. How you feeling? Is that better? That is better. What did you do? I use the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Listen to this. She heard, she said, she came, she touched, she was healed. She heard, she said, she came, she touched, and she was healed. You see, what she touched was she touched the tallit. She touched that tzitzit. She touched that manifestation. She touched that prophetic word that in his wings there's healing. She touched that prophetic word that said there's going to be someone who comes and there's going to be healing in his wings, healing in those tassels. And she stretched out her hand and she put a demand on that prophetic word. She stretched out her hand and she put a demand on other people's experience and she touched that tzitzit. She touched that blue, that throne of God. She touched that place of redemption. She touched that place of grace and she was made all completely new. That's what it prophesies about, and that's what it says. But I'll tell you, it's here today. Now, imagine if there was something here today that was, you just touch this bottle. All you got to do is touch this bottle, and every infirmity, every sickness, every affliction will leave your body. Like, that's how simple healing is. It's not about this bottle. But you see, there was somebody who believed that the prophetic word about Jesus, that if you just touch the hem of his garment, you'll be made whole. They see, we've come right through the cross, and we have every single blessing in the name of Jesus. And that prophetic word is fulfilled today. And Jesus, you know, that little thing that you can touch isn't here, but Jesus is here. And as real as him being in the room, he's here right now. And that same Jesus who healed that woman with an issue of blood, that Jesus is here right now. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12 and 16, it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, bringing sick and all those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. See, so when we stepped into the finished work of the cross, when we stepped into the new covenant, you see, now the place of contact, that place of touch is you. Lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. Your hand is a conduit of heavenly favor. Look at your hand. Look at it. Look at it right there. You are packing the kingdom of God. You are packing freedom and deliverance for people around you every day. You right now have the authority with your hand to completely set people free. Acts chapter 19, 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Hands. There's a lot of other things. There's in Paul also, Paul would wipe sweat off his brow while he was preaching, and he'd throw away the cloth that he'd perspired on. They would take those cloths, and they would take that cloth and go have a meeting, and everybody who touched that cloth was healed. It's unusual. It's unusual. In that same meeting where the lady's withered arm was made whole, I was sweating buckets, and I had handkerchiefs. I started with a gray suit. By the time I was done, it was so full of sweat, it was a black suit. I have pictures of starting with a gray suit, and they were taking pictures and watching slowly as the sweat permeated every part of my clothing. And it was just, when I got back to the hotel, I took off my suit, and it stood on its own in the corner. It was just rough. I was sweating buckets, and while I was sweating, I was talking about the anointing. I was talking about how the anointing is transferable. The anointing, it can be contained in things. You can store it up. The anointing can be stored up like a battery, and you can take that power everywhere you go. And I said, I got that. I said, I tell you, Paul, unusual miracles. I took my thing and I threw it out, and there was a lady who literally cleared out about five people. It was like she was grabbing a bouquet. She'd been 40 years single, and she's getting that bouquet. I'm going to be next to get married, and she'd tackle anybody in my way. And she just, and I was like, and she grabbed that. And she took that. But you know, as I continued to preach in the miracle and the meeting went on, at the end of the meeting, she stood up and went, and I went, that could be good, that could be bad. And she started to speak in Spanish, and somebody went over and they talked to her interpreter for me. And they said, when I came in, I brought my granddaughter. My granddaughter has leukemia, and she's been taking drugs, and the drugs have affected her liver, and her eyes are all yellow, and her skin is all jaundice. But when you threw that cloth out here, I took it, and I put it on her through the rest of the meeting. And as you're finishing up, I look back at her. Her skin is clear. Her eyes are clear. I went back a year later. That baby was totally made whole. It's that Jesus. That Jesus. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. I got one more verse for you. One more verse. You ready? Mark 16, 17, and 18. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Any believers here today? Put up your hand if you're a believer, like really high. Like you don't care. I'm not ashamed. I'm a child of God. This is for you. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. How many people in this city, like that woman with the issue of blood, have been going to doctors, being treated for everything, had every treatment you could imagine, and only grew worse, and now are broke and helpless and in despair? And yet we have hands. We have hands. I want to see healing common in this place. It's not uncommon to see somebody say, I accept Jesus, my sins are forgiven. It's not uncommon for that to happen in our services. It happens a lot. It should not be uncommon for us to say, today, every sickness is healed in the name of Jesus. I could say boldly, all your sins are forgiven. I could say it boldly right now, and most of you wouldn't struggle with that at all, because Jesus forgives all your sins. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sickness of the whole world. That's hard for us somehow. But in their culture, healing was easier than forgiving sins. Jesus forgave the guy, said, I forgive your sins, and the guy got up. And they were like, hey, whoa, if you healed somebody, that's okay, but you can't forgive sins. See, in their culture, it was harder to forgive sins. But what did Jesus say? What's the difference, to forgive sins or to say, pick up your bed and walk? What's the difference? What is the difference between saying your sins are forgiven and your body is healed? There's no difference. It's absolutely the same covenant, and it's yours. We need revelation. People perish for lack of knowledge. We need revelation. Next week, I'm going to talk to you what I think is the single most significant impediment to you walking in healing. I'm going to deal with that next week and going to eliminate that in the name of Jesus. That's a big task. But today, I want to pray for you. We're going to pray, and then I don't know how many people we have for our ministry teams, our prayer teams, but I want everybody who's on a prayer team to come up here. And it's very, very simple. You will lay your hands on the sick, and they shall recover in Jesus' name. When they went to the gate, beautiful, Peter said, silver and gold we don't have, but what I do have, I have something that you need right now, and I'm going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And then they're like, oh my goodness, did you see that? That guy's been there for years. But these guys healed him. And they went, ooh, you guys are awesome. You're awesome. You know what Peter said? Peter said, it wasn't that I'm special. I didn't achieve some special level of holiness. It wasn't my piety or anything to do with me. I simply used the name of Jesus. You don't have to get some, you don't have to hit a meter of 10 out of 10 in holiness, 10 out of 10 in purity. Well, God couldn't use me because I screwed up last night. Yes, he can use you. He uses screw-ups every day. Every day. In fact, he is condemned to only using screw-ups. That's all he's got is you. You're it. I'm not such a screw-up. Well, then you're special. More going on in your life. You know, every one of us, everyone here, you qualify to be a dispenser of kingdom favors everywhere you go. Can I pray for you? Ha ha ha!